And we welcome you back to Motherlode Views. I'm BJ Hansen, your host. We're giving you an update on back-to-school time in the Motherlode. Some schools started this past week, others getting back to school in the next couple of days. We're joined on the program this weekend by Tuolumne County Superintendent of Schools, Kathy Parker. Superintendent of Schools Parker, next thing I'll ask you about is just a little bit about you are superintendent until the end of the year, and I'm just kind of curious if there's anything you want to share just about the transition and how that's going and kind of the next steps for you.
Sure. And when we say end of the year, we mean the end of the calendar year.
Correct.
Not the school year. And right before I started this term, I've of course been at the county office and developing a lot of programs around that were involving mental health services. And I always felt like I didn't have quite the knowledge base that I felt I needed in order to make the best decisions. And so I would really research everything, starting to try to understand the different models that were out there, especially around the work that we were doing in the juvenile hall. So if people remember, the grand jury report just came out about the juvenile hall, and specifically around the wraparound services and the education program that were there that are exemplars. They are exemplars across the state. That program was developed because of my interest in mental health services and making sure that we had an excellent wraparound service model in the classroom. From that, I started a doctorate program because I found that there are not very many examples of excellent programs that are out there for those who have, students who have, children who have had contact with the juvenile justice system. Kids who have been involved with probation, either formally or informally, who've been incarcerated either through California Youth Authority or through probation through the juvenile hall system. And to me, that's not okay. That's not okay that is a gap in our community, our society, and that's where some of my work has been in my work here as county superintendent and prior, but more importantly, the work that I've been doing around my doctorate. And as I've been trying to continue my doctorate work through, a career where you are on 365 days a year, you work 24/7, you are an elected official, and so you are accessible and you need to be accessible during that entire time. What I do plan on doing is finishing my doctorate. I've gotten to a point now where I'm working on the dissertation piece, and that requires a lot of writing. And bring together some research and hopefully some ideas about how we can better serve students in juvenile detention facilities and around probation served. We have some good practices. Our county is actually pretty cutting edge on a lot of those practices, and I'd love for that to be celebrated and to be captured in something around the dissertation work I'm going to do for my doctorate.
Oh, best of luck with that new journey.
Thank you.
You know, looking back on this past 4 years, I know it's been kind of a crazy time at times with COVID and fires and all that type of thing, but I'm kind of curious just kind of your thoughts on kind of highlights of this past 4 years.
Right, and I'm going to focus on the positive highlights, not the idea that we've had two fires burn up almost to the door of our county office or COVID. One thing I'm really proud of is our partnership with Columbia College. I serve on the Columbia College Foundation, and being able to work with the college and provide 2 years of free education through the Promise Scholarship is a tremendous kudo to this community and to everyone who has stepped up to provide that. In addition to that partnership for free college is that kids who are leaving high school in our county are able to leave with college credits already earned through our expanded dual enrollment opportunities, accessing college courses when they take evening classes that also count for their high school classes, expanding pathways under health services, construction. I have to applaud Superintendent Pelfrey at Sonora High School and Superintendent Merrill and Superintendent Hilton of really taking charge of making sure that all of their high school kids have access to high school or to college courses and credits, but also not ignoring career technical ed pathways and making sure when kids leave high school, they have college credits, they have job skills, and they can either go into college for free locally, or they can go out and get a really well-paying skilled job locally. So being able to work with that group has been a highlight. And just referring back to the juvenile hall and the school, that the Gold Ridge Educational Center, being able to attain WASC accreditation for that school has been one of the greatest achievements, I think, of my career. And I'm proud of the team that I assembled to make that happen. Nobody stands alone. It is always about the team that you have assembled, and that's what I feel has been reflected in the work that I've done over the last, not just 4 years, but you know, since 2011 I've been at the county, being able to assemble those amazing teams of people, and we're all committed to the same ideas that all children deserve access to education, and it's us that, it's the adults in the room, we have to reduce those barriers. And that, and when I mean all kids, I mean regardless of any issues that they have in terms of interacting with their peers, whether it's something that they have physically that causes them to maybe not access education, we need to reduce the barrier. Not they don't have to adapt to us. We need to adapt to their needs. And that's been a huge shift. That team I have, we're all about that. Regardless of what a teen, a youth, a child has in terms of their needs, we're there to meet their needs. They don't have to change to fit our needs. We need to adapt and to support them so that they can access any part of education that they want.
I also want to ask you, with issues like surrounding like vaping and online bullying, that type of thing, you know, do you have any just kind of general advice or just tips for parents to that they can help their child or and just kind of get through these current times and all the challenges that they face?
If they can't communicate, if they're having difficulty communicating with their child, teen or you know, preteen, find a trusted adult that they might connect with and help forge those partnerships. It could be a teacher, it could be a principal, it could be one of the support people, counselors at the school site. Sometimes we get so close to those situations that, you know, we're so protective of our young that we want to just save them. And so just really work with the schools to find those trusted adults to help you keep those conversations going with your children. And there are a lot of resources out there. And make sure that you understand that we're there to support you. And if one solution doesn't work, we will be looking for another solution and another solution and another solution.
Run out of time on this weekend's Motherload Views. Superintendent Parker, thank you for coming on. Any final comments you'd like to make?
No, I'm just looking forward to a great start of the school year.
Well, we thank Superintendent Kathy Parker for being our guest on this weekend's Motherload Views. Kind of an exciting time as students head back to the classroom.
Yeah, so very exciting.
Thank her for giving us up to speed on everything that's taking place this year as the school year starts. I'm BJ Hansen. I was your host. We'll see you back next week for more Motherload Views.
You've been listening to Motherload Views, a look at the issues important to the quality of life in the Motherload. Motherload Views has been brought to you by Nate's Tree Service. No job is too big or too small. Call 532-2460.